Mira Business FM.
Mira Business FM, legal affairs this hour on The Morning Drive. I'm Tim Elliott. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us. info@mira.fm is the email address, the general email address, if you'd like to send a question through or comment on anything. You'll find us across social media. Search Mira Business FM. Really that simple. We are discussing a couple of new cases today, a couple of new laws, and this one I think is exciting for a lot of people. It's kind of part of the vernacular now. It's part of our daily language, the language of crypto. Ludmila Yamanova, US qualified lawyer, the TikTok lawyer, is with me. Thank you for sticking around. This is the UAE's new crypto legislative framework, isn't it? This is a new set of regulations. Before we go any further, Ludmila, let me make a statement, and you can either give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Very gladiatorial in aspect. The UAE's crypto legislative framework really works. It's a friendly jurisdiction, I would say. Is that fair? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
It is a friendly jurisdiction. Okay. Thumbs up, yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, let's start positively.
I'm looking at the whites of your eyes at the moment, and I'm wondering if Caesar's going to move that thumb. What makes you agree with that?
Well, one is that from a legal standpoint, there's a number of laws that is specifically dedicated to virtual assets and mm-hmm. cryptocurrencies. So that in itself, going back to your question, is it friendly jurisdiction? It is friendly because not only are we talking about crypto and acknowledging it, we are putting in place specific laws that are designed to provide a regulated platform, but also to encourage businesses and companies to come into the UAE and set up here and conduct their virtual assets activities here. So is it friendly from that perspective? Yes, it's friendly. There are, and by the way, there's a whole, it's a multi-tiered legal framework because, and this we can talk about in a minute, there are different laws related to all things related to virtual assets and cryptocurrency in different emirates. So we've got the federal laws, then we've got the specific emirate laws, and these laws are like a kind of a, like an onion. They continue to, or like a mushroom, they continue to mushroom and layer on like an onion. So there's many more laws that are continuing to at least be introduced or sort of discussed or amended. So, but there are specific laws to rely on, right? Right. And the that's from a legal standpoint. Also from perhaps like a public policy standpoint as well. The government has been very clear that they are interested and are inviting, sort of welcoming, of virtual asset businesses to look at the UAE as a friendly legal framework and jurisdiction for them to be based here. So it's sort of, it's from a legal from a government standpoint, this is a friendly jurisdiction, and there's a lot now to rely on. However, friendly does not mean easy. Okay, so that's why when you ask me, is it friendly, I kind of had to pause for a second because it can be friendly, can be interpreted in different ways. I mean, is it friendly because it's easy, or is it friendly because there are specific laws that have already been put in place to to regulate the specific industry, and therefore an indication that the government is receptive and welcoming of this industry and its development in the UAE? So,
well, that's really the point I was making, because at a federal level, the UAE has signed an MOU with a crypto platform, and that will, I guess, allow government fees to be paid in digital currency, regulated digital currencies. But the reason I ask that is because crypto has always kind of been slightly outside of the norm, hasn't it? It's not part of the traditional financial system. Increasingly, we're seeing that. But it is a hard thing to, first of all, understand for a lot of people. It's been a hard thing to regulate. There has been far less oversight. Those are all reasonable statements, I think. I guess that means it shouldn't be that easy for budding founders to set up. You should expect to jump through a few hoops.
Yes and no, and I'll tell you why. No, because at the same time, when we're talking about virtual assets, cryptocurrency, why is it so exciting? Why has it been so So appealing to many because it has not been regulated.
True.
Right?
because
true. Because traditionally crypto and virtual assets industry are seen as unregulated industries, and that kind of what gives them that sort of that new edge, right?
Yeah.
So in a way, and that's, by the way, the attitude that that we see a lot from our clients who are coming in, again, on the back of sort of the US government sort of proposition to the world that we are friendly and we're welcoming of the crypto business. So the companies, the individuals are coming here, it's like, okay, we see the UAE government is very welcoming of this, so we want to set up, we wanted to do business, but because of the type of industry they're coming from, they expect friendly means easy. Right?
Okay.
So yes, we're here, and because it's crypto and it's virtual assets, it's supposed to be not regulated so much. So what they expect and the way they interpret friendliness is that we can come here, we can set up because, hey, the UAE government said that they're very welcoming and encouraging of anything to do with virtual assets. And from what we know about the entire industry, that it's not really subject to regulations. That's what makes it so incredibly interesting and rapidly growing and exciting. So, yeah.
Friendly is such a, I shouldn't have used that word, should I? It's a bit too warm and fuzzy for this, but you make the point really well. So let's look at if you do decide, right, I'm ready to go. My crypto business is going to take off and I want to set up in Dubai. I like the idea of it. I love the weather. I love the lifestyle. What do you have to do?
Well, so there's a few things. Before I say that, you mentioned earlier there's sort of a new legal framework, crypto framework, and it's accurate, but it's not new in the sense of it wasn't issued this year, and there's not one specific law. So I just wanted to highlight that, and we can discuss that as we go through the requirements, because there's a whole series of laws that come into play when we're talking about the crypto industry. Mm. And that starts from the central bank, and the central bank and a lot of the regulations of the central bank, there are some of the newer ones, but some of the older ones, but they're all in one way or another, they may apply to the crypto industry and the crypto business in the UAE. So, there's certain laws that were published at the federal level, and then there's certain laws that are being published or were published at the Emirates-specific level, for example, in Ras Al Khaimah, in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi. So all of these laws, when we're talking about the legal framework, I mean, perhaps... some of the first laws were published in 2020, 2022, like the more specific laws. So yeah. It's about 3 years. I mean, but again, there's other laws, the anti-money laundering laws, the compliance laws that sort of that are a little older. But more or less, we're talking about a span of 4 years.
But there's no one specific legislative framework, and that's, I guess, the first thing to be aware of. You know, you need to do your due diligence, your homework, your research.
Indeed, and then going back to your previous question, and this is a good transition, that's exactly right. There is no specific, there's one law that applies to the crypto industry or setting up a crypto business, and that is exactly for the reasons we're about to discuss. And that's because it starts as, if you think about it at a high level, setting up a crypto business, it's a multi-tiered process, perhaps like a three-tiered process. So first you start with a commercial license, basically a legal license to allow you to operate as a business. And that in itself is a process, and it's very different from the process that others expect, having set up companies in other jurisdictions, let's say in the West, in the U.S., or in Europe. It's very different in the UAE and Dubai, as you and I know very well. Mm-hmm. And that's one perhaps surprise that we often see in our clients' eyes, because it's easy to set up a company. You pay X number of euros or dollars, and you've got a company. Well, Dubai and the UAE have very specific protocols and requirements and process for setting up the license, right? We're talking just with a commercial license. So that's one.
And that's because it's to do with money.
Yeah, doing business. It's doing business. Yeah. So basically, it's at a high level, and that, by the way, is a separate set of laws.
Financial,
right? It's a company,
would be another
it's
layer.
It's a company's law. We're talking about any kind of business activity in the UAE requires a license, activity. Now, business activity does not necessarily need to yield you profit or revenue, mm-hmm. but it's still considered a business activity. So business activity. Now, that's step number one. Step number two, where do you want to be set up? Because as we know, the UAE is a country of seven Emirates. And each one of these Emirates has its own legal system. So we have federal laws and we have Emirate-specific laws. So, I think this is still accurate as of today, there isn't an option to have a federal company. So you cannot just apply to have a company, a UAE company.
Yep.
You have to decide where you want to be, which emirate you want to be to set up the commercial license we're talking about. So you, in your example, you said Dubai. Okay, well, if that's Dubai is your jurisdiction, then you would be starting in Dubai. But there are others, but you basically need to make that choice. You need to make that decision. It has to be a concerted decision. Okay, do I want to be set up in Dubai? Do I want to be in Abu Dhabi, closer to, I don't know, ADGM, for example, because it's the capital? Or do I want to be, for example, I've heard Ras Al Khaimah is doing some interesting developments and projects and sort of very friendly to virtual assets. Or do I want to be set up in Ras Al Khaimah and so on and so forth? So you need to decide where you first set up as a business.
Yeah, we're talking absolutely.
About the legal entity. So, and then once you decided that, then you need to figure out, okay, so let's say if you're in Dubai, then what specific laws that particular emirate has to govern virtual assets or your crypto activity or crypto license. That topic in itself is so complicated. And then, because even within Dubai, let's start with Dubai. So within Dubai alone, as you know, in addition for it to be being one, now we've chosen Dubai, but Dubai has what's called the mainland, right? Multiple economic zones, right?
Yep.
So you've got the mainland and you've got certain free zones. So then you did decide, do you want to be on the mainland or do you want to be in a specific free zone? And that's where also...
It's compounded, though, isn't it, in Dubai? You have the mainland, you have the free zones, you have the DIFC, which is a separate regulatory legal structure.
Yes.
So there is so much to consider.
Exactly.
Just in Dubai.
Exactly, right, yes. Right. So now we've zeroed in. We went from the UAE to Dubai, and then within Dubai, there's many more layers. So now, not all free zones, for example, because remember, we're applying for ultimately a crypto license. I use as a general term, a broader term, because it's a lot more nuanced than that. Not every economic zone will allow you or has a crypto type license that you can apply for. So you need to kind of decide, okay, do I want to be on the mainland or do I free zone? If it's free zone, which free zone? Then you look at the different free zones and decide, okay, these free zones don't really have crypto businesses, so licenses, so I can't really apply here if I really want to do crypto. Okay, there's certain specific free zones that are a little more friendly that have specific crypto activities. So amongst those, you look around, okay, well, okay, now I've identified, let's say, five. We've got the mainland and maybe four other free zones that do crypto, that offer crypto activities. So you decide where to set up there. Okay, now... Now that means then you are subject. So, but we're in Dubai, so you will be subject. But let's keep the DFC out for now. So you're in Dubai. So in addition to getting your commercial license, which will be licensed either if you're in the mainland by DET, or if you're in a free zone by the free zone. But irrespective of where you are, you will also be subject additionally to what's called VARA, the Virtual Assets Regulatory Agency.
Okay.
So that's basically that's Dubai. That's Dubai, okay? Because VARA does not apply or does not exist outside of Dubai per se, because it's an authority that is Dubai specific. Okay. But it has very specific regulations, and that's the authority, that's also the authority that regulates virtual assets industry, right? Or the crypto industry in this specific case, more specific case. So then you need to make sure your commercial license, you apply for your commercial license, then because you're applying for crypto license, and then they need to get before you get your license approved, fully approved, you need to get approvals from VARA. And that's if you're in Dubai. In Ras Al Khaimah, it's RAC or DAO, the Digital Asset Oasis. And in Abu Dhabi, you have the a part of ADGM. So you see, this is so many puzzles. It's a DAFC. I'm going to use your example of Dubai, at least. So we're in Dubai, so we're subject to VARA. Now, VARA is the regulatory authority with its own what's called the rule book. And that's a pretty, pretty specific rule book in terms of, okay, who can actually legally apply for this crypto license? And that's where there's kind of the rubber hits the road, so to speak. And there's so many requirements in terms of if you want to apply, then you need to decide what kind of activities you're going to be doing in the crypto industry. Because there's so many different...
this
different
is
types
on
of
top of your commercial license,
which
you already have, and then you're going. You have to be very, very careful and very specific about the road that you take thereafter.
That's right, and then you have to decide. But because when you're applying for the VARA license, you have to decide what type of crypto activity you're doing.
Okay.
And there's different types. For example, there's advisory services, there's broker-dealer services, custody services, exchange services, lending and borrowing. management investment, transfer and settlement. So these are, so under VARA, you have to decide which one of those you fit in. And if I may pause here for a second, because that sort of, I recently had a client who, for all the reasons I mentioned earlier, wanted, expected, because you were so friendly and it's so so developed. So they wanted to set up a crypto business and they wanted to do it fast and then they wanted kind of to do it cheap. And basically they said, well, but we don't need all this. We don't need all these VARA licenses because of what we're doing, it's not this. So all we want to do, we want to create a platform, set up a platform that will allow your party A to basically sell services to party B who will pay for those services through cryptocurrency. Okay. And we as a middleman, I'm simplifying obviously, we as a middleman, we basically take a percentage and we can ultimately, among other things, also be an arbiter in terms of, you know, who is wrong, who is right, and we can kind of mediate disputes between them.
So you want to arbitrate and facilitate and take a commission?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and because, but they said, but it's very simple, and this, these are their words, okay? This is very simple. It's a very simple model, and we do not need to apply for VARA license because what we want to do, we're not your exchange, we're not dealing with crypto, we're not offering crypto, we're just the middleman, just the platform.
Right.
So, and there, by the way, there's a lot of people like that that are, in fact, are providing or doing crypto activities in the UAE right now without the proper license, all because they think that. Okay, so they think that they don't qualify.
Right.
So, and they were trying to convince me that, you know, I was overcomplicating it for them and they don't really need all these different licenses. And I said, okay, well, let's go through, okay, what it is that you're doing. So they said, well, we just think of the middleman. So if you look, for example, at some of the definitions, this is ProVara, the broker-dealer services.
Okay.
Arranging or soliciting orders, accepting fiat or crypto for trades, facilitating matches, making a market, or distributing, issuing virtual assets.
it's fairly clear to me.
Right. Oh, the other thing they said, no, and we will hold the money. We will help, basically, our platform. We can hold the currency, the tokens, on our platform. And I'm like, well, that's a custodial service. No, but that it is not. I said, okay, let's reread the definition of custodial service. Safekeeping virtual assets for clients, acting only on verified instructions. So you see, so I wanted to read these specifically because ultimately, so this is so descriptive to where the expectation of the industry is and where the regulation are.
Well, it goes back to a point I made earlier, doesn't it? Or an observation earlier that crypto has really kind of existed outside of the norm, kind of on the fringe. I'm not saying gray area. I'm not trying to point in that direction. But it is not the mainstream.
Well, absolutely, and this is why you have these expectations. You cannot fault them, but it's a bit of almost like a cultural mindset. Those who are in this industry, who understand the industry, who have done well in this industry, they've done well because there have not been regulations, right? Yeah. So when they're coming in response to what we hear is a friendly jurisdiction, they're very excited, but they bring with them those expectations. It's going to be easy, and we don't need to fall under these regulations because we should not be regulated, and so. And you know, but for obvious reasons, I mean, at a very high level, perhaps I should mention that anything when we're talking about crypto, what are we talking about? We're talking about financial instruments, right? We're talking about money ultimately, right?
Absolutely,
and money is financial services. They're highly regulated, and they have always been regulated. And I mean, not always, but they're quite stringently regulated in most countries, in most stable economies, right? In particular, including in the UAE.
Well, most countries, most economies are. Really, for want of a better phrase, they're scrambling to catch up because, you know, as is the way with technology, it moves at a pace that we generally have to kind of, you know, run after.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. And there we go back to your original question, was it friendly? And that is what makes the UAE so friendly because, yes, a lot of countries are still catching up. The UAE, in the meantime, has put forward a number of specific laws already. So our legal framework is being developed. So we are perhaps even, you know, arguably kind of at the forefront of some of the other more developed jurisdictions in this regard. So the regulations are there, but the perhaps the awareness or the acknowledgement of how important they are, that is kind of what we're working on. And that's perhaps the reason why also I wanted to make sure to highlight this topic because we've had many clients that come in and expect for this to be a very simple and easy and cheap place to set up a crypto business.
I guess there's a perception as well, isn't there, that crypto is kind of the new cool kid on the block, and you know, I can get in early, and it's kind of advanced a little bit beyond that point, I suppose. We've got 5 minutes, I guess, to discuss really where do things stand now, and what. I mean, there are a number of different frameworks. Obviously, it's a hard thing to do. You need to do your research. You need to do your due diligence to, you know, be on the right side of the law, to be set up legally. Where do things stand now? And from what we know from a legislative viewpoint, what's the takeaway from this conversation today?
Well, there's two other main parts that I wanted to add to kind of complete
Please,
the story.
No, go
One
on,
is
go on.
That the application, so you have to, once you choose which sort of activity you want to pursue in terms of your license, you also need to show competence. So you need to show to the authorities that you know what crypto is all about.
Okay.
Right? So some of the documents, for example, that are required to be submitted to VARA as part of your application, it's like it's a business plan that basically shows you various activities and revenue streams, technology, infrastructure, risk management, governance structure, and financial projections. Obviously, the ownership details, all the ultimate UBOs and such. Organizational chart, CVs of senior management demonstrating relevant crypto or financial services experience. And financial projections and proof of capital. So sorry to say, Tim, I don't think you and I would qualify.
No, I think we're best off attempting to do what we're doing now.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. Okay. So advising others about what they need to do. So that's, you know, that is, again, another thing that most people don't really think about or don't appreciate. And a lot of, I guess not to be a sort of stereotype, but those who really understand crypto or have done very well in crypto tend to be a younger generation.
Sure.
And so for them, they don't really think about, because they've already done well for themselves, they don't necessarily care about CVs and kind of organizational, financial plans and organizational charts and such. So that's a bit of a kind of an old-fashioned business approach, right, where you have to kind of show, hey, listen, if I want to do a business, I need to show you that I can actually do this business. So basically, these are the regulations now that apply for those who want to set up, in addition to obviously picking the different types of services that you wanted to do, and that you actually know what you're talking about. Okay, then
right.
Money. Let's talk about that, because that's important.
Here we go.
Yes.
Okay.
So because each one of these licenses is quite spendy.
Well, I did see in the notes this morning that, you know, that it's hefty, isn't it?
Yes. So that's just, you know, that we've talked about perhaps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 types of activities that you can apply or opt for under the VARA services. You can combine some of these. And so if you combine, obviously you have to combine the fees as well.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give an idea, so let's say if you just wanted to do advisory services in the crypto industry, just virtual assets, advisory services, providing personal recommendation to a client in respect of transactions or actions involving virtual assets. So the application fee to VARA is 40,000 dirhams. Then there's an annual fee is 80,000 dirhams. And then you need to also have initial capital of at least 100,000 dirhams.
Okay. There's a barrier to entry, I guess, for many budding crypto entrepreneurs right there.
Yes. Then there's the broker-dealer services, and that's the one I read the definition earlier. That's higher. It's the application fee is 100,000 dirhams, the application fee. And then you have to pay an annual fee of 200,000 dirhams. And the initial capital requirement is between 400,000 dirhams to 600,000 dirhams plus. So, and the same kind of price tag applies to everything, to custody, exchange, lending, borrowing, management, investment. And some of them, by the way, have higher initial capital, like lending and borrowing. Additionally, so for initial capital, it's 500,000 dirhams or 25% overheads. For custody, also, that's in terms of the initial capital requirement, 600,000 dirhams or 25% of overheads.
Okay.
So it's not for those who want to do it quick and cheap.
It really isn't. Look, we've got a minute left, Ludmilla, and I know there is a lot more to talk about, but the kind of summary, I suppose, is that, yes, you can come to Dubai or the UAE and you can set yourself up in the crypto space. Absolutely, it's possible. The regulation is there. You're welcome to do it, but you got to be serious.
Absolutely. Yes. So they don't want what's called a sort of crypto enthusiast. The government here is very welcoming of the virtual assets industry and crypto businesses, but they don't want just your typical sort of perhaps you're more commonly known as crypto enthusiasts. It is a serious business because we're talking about financial services. So it is here, it is a regulated industry. Now, compared to other jurisdictions, there is a fairly evolved and rapidly evolving legal framework that is very friendly of the crypto businesses from a legal standpoint. But they are only interested in serious crypto businesses and professionals.
There's a lot more to discuss, I know that, but once again, it's always good to talk to you. Ludmila Yamalova is a US qualified lawyer based in Dubai, the TikTok lawyer, and longtime friend. Love talking to you. Thank you.
Great being here, Tim. Thank you.
This is Mira Business FM.
Mira Business FM.